2018 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is back.
We got to break out of here.
Your Saturday morning is sorted with St Kilda champ Lee Montagna.
I wasn't sure how I'd go.
And Triple M footy's Jay Clark.
Oh, boy.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Pedders, the experts in undercar. No bull.
Yes, your Saturday morning certainly is sorted on the Dead Set Legends. It's Jay Clark and Lee Montagna with you until 12 o'clock. And have we got a massive show today. Andrew Jarman, the absolute star of last night's EJ Witten Legends match, is joining us. Michael Caruso in hot form, the V8 supercar driver, is going to have a chat. And Sam Groth, we're going to be talking tennis. Nick Kyrgios, what's going on with the chair umpire? Controversial scenes over there in the US Open, of course. So we got a massive show. Now say good morning to my good friend here, Lee Montagna, the two-time All-Australian all-round good guy. How are you, Joey?
Good, thanks, Jay. First day of spring.
Yep.
Beautiful day and not a bad morning out there, and no football on, obviously no AFL, so a good opportunity for everyone to go out and watch some local footy today.
Yes.
A lot of finals out there, so I might be doing that as well today.
Yeah.
Spend a bit of time. Well, I've got a couple of options. I can go see Brent and Shane Harvey. A couple of friends of mine play for North Heidelberg against West Preston. Bit of a northern suburbs rivalry down at Preston, my old footy ground, Cramer Street Oval.
That'd be a rough sort of game.
Oh, yeah, it would be a bit rough. Yeah, it's going to be a bit going on there. And all the other options, I can go and watch maybe St. Kevin's are playing in the amateurs at Elsternwick Park, but might take young little Noah out of the house for a few hours and get down and watch some local footy.
Got plenty of footy on the agenda today. We're going to talk about the big finals games next weekend and also a trade chat. Jesse Hogan, Dylan Shiel, what's happening with him? Lachie Neal, of course, and Lukey Dalhouse, all big names on the trade agenda today. So say good morning to you, Rosie. How are you?
A little bit hungover.
Yeah, what did you get up to last night?
I had it was a wake for a very much-loved Melbourne musician, Spencer P. Jones.
Oh.
You'll know his work from The Sly Guitar and How to Make Gravy, Paul Kelly's classic tune. But it was a really good night to celebrate a great musician.
How are you feeling today?
Yeah.
Hey, Joey, Father's Day tomorrow.
Yes.
Your first Father's Day.
Yes, yeah, I can't wait. Looking
so
forward to it.
Congratulations.
Thank
now, did you put a request in for a Father's Day gift for all the fathers, all the dads out there driving around their cars at the moment? What they can look forward to a gift tomorrow. What did you request?
I didn't put in a request. No, I haven't, actually.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to getting one, but I've got no idea.
Yeah,
I didn't put much thought into it, actually, but I do have a lovely lunch with everyone, Norna and Nornor, and Mum and Dad and the family. We're going to Rosetta at Crown.
Yes.
That's Norna and Nornor's favourite Italian restaurant, Rosetta.
Do they serve?
Sugo. There'll be plenty of sugo at Rosetta. So we're going there tomorrow, but it'll be nice to celebrate my first Father's Day. What about you, Jay? Obviously, almost a father of three.
Yes.
Third very soon. So
June,
you must do something special. The family must organise something pretty special for you for Father's Day.
I'll play golf, Joey, tomorrow morning, it's fair to say. Seems
Father's
a bit selfish, doesn't it? We had a baby moon this week, Joey. We all sort of went away as a family down there.
Done the family thing.
Yeah, I think they're sick of me. So I'm going to go play golf and then work tomorrow. And I think we'll do the Father's Day stuff. I've asked for some. Have you got the funky coloured socks? Like, you know, you wear a suit, right?
Yep.
I still roll with the standard black sock.
Oh, you've got to get the fancy coloured socks out there. Yeah, you just need one or two pairs.
Yeah, smiley faces or something.
Yeah, something a bit out there.
Tacos, slice of pizza.
Yes. So I've put the request in for them. I've been slow to the new sock craze, but I think I'm going to gear up shortly.
Well, you only discovered tea a couple of weeks ago, so I'm surprised.
And Game of Thrones.
And then you've just started watching Game of Thrones. So you're pretty quick with the new coloured sock scheme. That's pretty modern for you.
Fair to say I'm a bit slow on the uptake on a few things. Joey and Rosie. Hey, the EJ Witten Legends game last night. You sat down on the couch and watched that. Did it whet the appetite, Joey? Are you any chance of coming back yourself?
Seeing a lot of ex-players that have put on a lot of weight running around the footy oval, I did think I could probably handle it out there. I would like to play it one year.
Yep.
I was asked, but obviously got with the newborn, I couldn't commit earlier in the year and obviously with work commitments as well, Jay. But hopefully I would like to get out there and have a game. It's just to be able to, you know, not only for a good cause, and we do, they raised excellent money for men's health and prostate cancer specifically, and we'll chat to Andrew Jarman, but also the opportunity to mingle with some champs. I mean, if you look last night, the opposition there was Andrew McLeod and Tony Modra.
Yep.
Love to be able to have a drink with those guys after the game and play with a few ex-teammates. So hopefully a few of the old Saints boys can all get together and play one year.
just make me one promise, Joey. Don't take it too seriously when you get out there. You watch the guys who take it too seriously. Just have some fun, Joey.
I know. That's
some torps,
but that's, you get nervous because you don't want to be the guy that tries too hard, but you also don't want to be the one that doesn't put in any effort at all. It's a really fine balance. And I saw the boys, JB and Brian Taylor, they gave it, I think it was to Sean McManus early in the game last night. Yes, the try hard meter came up and he was trying a bit too hard. And you're like, I don't ever want to be that bloke. So, but it was good fun.
You mentioned Andrew Jarman, kicked two goals, was the absolute star of the show last night. We're going to talk to him, I think, in about half an hour's time. So we look forward to that. Last night, he kicked the goal of the night.
Gets it in the hole.
Oh, look out.
Jarman socking it off the ground. Oh! This is what he can do. This is what Jarman can do.
That's what we want, Joey. That sort of stuff. The highlight reel, the spectacular stuff. Don't just rack up 30 on the halfback flank and take all the kick-ins, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all
spot. It's hilarious.
Bit sensitive.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday scoreboard time. Plenty of sport happening around the world. Of course, the US Open is on at the moment, but we will have Sam Groff in the studio, Jay, in the second hour to get all the tennis news, find out about Nick Kyrgios, see what else is happening over in the world of tennis. But rugby league also is coming to its conclusion of the home and away season before the final start. And it looks like even though our Melbourne Storm had a 16-22 loss to the Penrith Panthers last night, Jay, it still looks like they're going to finish minor premiers.
So what's the go there, Joey? So finals just around the corner. Why are they losing?
Last night, from what I saw, they played a lot of their younger players. I think they're just getting themselves... They couldn't really... Well, pretty much a dead rubber. The only team that can beat them on top spot are the Roosters, who need to beat Parramatta by 28 points or more today to finish on top of the ladder. Otherwise, the Storm, for the third consecutive year, will be minor premiers.
Amazing.
Remember, they got beaten in 2016 in the grand final by Cronulla. They came back and won the premiership last year. So the Storm are on track for their third successive grand final.
And Joey, our man Hoffman...
What about that? We met him on last week, made a miraculous recovery. We thought he might have been done for the season.
We thought he was
We're
dead.
Asking him that he might never play again. He comes out and plays last night, Ryan Hoffman.
He didn't give us the heads up.
He didn't give us a little heads up. It would have been breaking news, but thanks for that, Hoffy. But anyway, he played last night. Couldn't help the team get over the line. But to give you a little bit of a summary of the NRL ladder, as I said, the Storm will probably finish minor premiers for the third consecutive year. The other two teams that will be equal top, the Sydney Roosters and South Sydney Rabbitohs. They've been the three main teams most of the year. Cronulla Sharks, who have got their own controversy with some salary cap cheating. We won't go into that, but they will finish around about fourth. Penrith moved up to fifth, and the New Zealand Warriors are sixth as well, with the Dragons, the Broncos, and the West Tigers could still potentially make the finals in ninth. The other big news of the night was Usain Bolt for the Central Coast Mariners made his debut.
Did he look any good, Joey?
Well, he looked a bit rusty. We've got a bit of audio of him talking after the performance last night. He played for the Central Coast Mariners against the Central Coast Select team. So I think it was just a bit of a make-up team. The Central Coast Mariners won 6-1, but there were nearly 10,000 people that came to Central Coast Stadium to watch the great man. And we'll have a bit more of a chat about it, but let's hear what he had to say first.
I'm not sure that it's him. I haven't heard the audio, but there's a goal that he missed. Do we want to hear that? No.
He had a chance to score.
Okay. Let's listen.
They've got plenty of options up front. The Mariners, it's a lot of depth up there. That one blocked out, and here's a chance for Bolt if he wants to get in the box quickly. Across the face, a goal, and he just can't get those long loping legs on the end of that. That could have been the moment.
Commentary box. He just wasn't quick enough. Oh, my God. Probably months, you know what I mean? Probably 4 or 5 months to properly, but to get fit, probably 2 months proper fitness. And then to get used to the touches, the passes, understand how my teammates play and understand the game, then 4 months, I'll be playing like one of the guys.
It was a good exercise. He was on a hide into nothing, a little bit nervous, and I think the big fella did okay. I'm quite happy with him.
Joey, he looked very rusty to me, but I don't. There's something in that soundbite then. How is this man, the greatest athlete on the planet, not fit enough to play domestic soccer? Of all things, surely he's fit enough.
What do you mean? He runs 100 metres.
Surely he does enough fitness work.
Please, Jay. Professional sport, it's a big difference playing a sport like soccer to running 100 metres in 9 seconds.
This is early nomination for Give Me a Spell,
Usain Bolt. Are you serious? What do you think he's going to do? He's a 100 metre sprinter.
He runs. That's his job.
He runs 100 metres. Now in a game of football and soccer, you've got to run over 10, 15 kilometres. So he's still got a bit of work to do. We heard him there say that he reckons he needs a couple of months of more pre-season training to get.
He looked rusty,
it's a different fitness base, Jay, but he did look rusty, but it's exciting anyway for the sport. Looking forward to that. The EJ Litton Legends game. We have Andrew Jarman coming up after this. They played last night. The All-Stars defeated Victoria by 12 points, but we'll get all the news from that game from Andrew Jarman. And Adelaide had their best and fairest last night. The best and fairest season will start for most clubs that aren't in the finals. Rory Laird, an obvious winner. Yep. He won pretty comfortably from Matt Crouch, who came second despite only playing 18 games.
Yep.
And Josh Jenkins came third in the Adelaide Crows best and fairest.
I'm staggered that,
plenty of footy news.
I'm staggered that the man who came fourth, Bryce Gibbs, was so low down.
Yeah, like, so was I a bit.
I would have thought he would have been top two for sure.
I think so. And I mean, Matt Crouch, who played 18 games but also got injured in one of them, so really played 17 games of football, to still come second in the club best and fairest, pretty good achievement.
Is it a good night, Joey, the club best and fairest?
Or, yeah, they generally they're always a pretty good night. Yeah. Always good fun.
A couple of beers beforehand?
Each their own. Yeah, some might do have a couple in the afternoon. Some stay pretty fresh.
About 20
Everyone's a bit different.
Yep.
What about any other football news? I know there's no games this week, but you're all over everything.
Well, our man, Scotty Pendlebury, five-time All-Australian, five-time Copeland Trophy.
Now, is it viral meningitis or not?
Captain of Collingwood. He's been a bit unwell. The club's saying it's not viral meningitis. He's very courageous, Joe. He used to do the same thing you play when you weren't a little bit injured, a little bit not well. So, look, if there was a game this weekend, I'm sure he'd find a way to play.
But would he?
He'll be... he'd have to park
Would
him.
Would he be touch and go to play this week?
Maybe have to park him out of the goal square. But he'd be cherry ripe next weekend for the big final against West Coast.
Of course he will. Just needs to get his fluids in, look after himself. Because viral meningitis can knock you around a bit. Yeah. So hopefully, fingers crossed for Pies fans.
His first Father's Day, of course, tomorrow with little Jax. I think he may have caught a bug from the young bloke.
Joey and Jay-Z, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. With St Kilda great Lee Montagna and Triple M footies Jay Clark.
Last night at the Adelaide Oval, the EJ Witten Legends game was played, where the All-Stars had a 12-point victory over Victoria, 109-97. On the line, we have the star of the show, Jay, last night. A colleague of ours, Dead Set Legend over in Adelaide, Andrew Jarman, joins us. Good morning, Jars. The big question, how have you pulled up, mate?
G'day, boys. Thanks for having us on a Saturday morning. Just got out of the ice bath, mate. Fair dinkum, I can't feel anything in my body. I've taken some peptides. I'm on more gear than Elvis, so it was a bloody good night. But very sore as a 52-year-old fat fella.
Well, there's a good reason for that, Jars, because you dominated last night. Let's be honest. You kicked the two goals. You kicked the match winner. It was the goal of the night, off the ground from about 30 out on the boundary. You broke Victoria's hearts, and you won the EJ Witten medal, mate. That must be a career highlight. Of all the things you've done in your footballing career, that must be right up there.
Absolutely. I got a little bit emotional when Teddy gave us the medal. It was funny because Blighty said at three-quarter time, now, everyone clear out and give me a little bit of space in the cage. And then Campbell Brown was just going off about his career. And the next one, the ball's come down and the ball went near our feet. And I said to Brownie, don't fall over. Don't fall over when we're running for the ball. He fell over and I said, good night. I've just kicked it through the middle. he couldn't believe it, but I won't tell you what he told me.
Yeah, still got it.
Bloody lot of fun. A lot of fun. And you're really proud to win the medal, mate, because it's a damn good cause, isn't it, lad? Yeah, it's a damn good cause. It's about prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm. What was the feedback from the great Geelong defender, Tommy Lonergan, when you slam-tackled him to the turf, Jars?
Mate, it was hilarious. Now, I've never laid a tackle in my life. So,
I think there was only four tackles laid for the game last night. You laid two of them.
Anyone with a Victorian jumper on, Lee, I'm up. So I've chased him down. I got caught him holding the ball. And then we just had a giggle about it. And as we know, he's a ripping fella. And after half time, we're going back in our positions. And he said, oh, Jars, can I have a little word? I said, yeah, what's up, mate? Before the ball's about to be... He goes, I've just received 48 text messages from a mate bagging me that I've been tackled by a big fat fella at Adelaide Oval.
Oh, that's gold.
48 messages.
And what about your old teammate, Tony Modgery? Put on a show last night, kicked four snags, attempted another hanger. It would have been great to get out there with a great man again.
Good to be with the old teammate, but geez, he's selfish around goals. Boys, you got to just be selfless. But nah, Daryl White kicked a beauty. It was a bloody good game. And I reckon the third quarter, she started to pipe up a little bit there. And Malcolm Blight, so serious, lads. Like, for him, this was 4 points last night.
Yeah.
And I was nervous around Blighty. We were a bit scared with Blighty. But, it was a lot of fun. And Yeah, Modsy's a superstar, but I reckon that's it now. I reckon he's hung up the boots. He was telling me after the game he's done.
He's done. Well, it was a great night, and the rain started coming in that last quarter there. Now, which players sooked it up? Who decided to go and head under the sheds? Did anyone sort of just wimp out when the rain started coming in the last quarter?
Well, Lee, when we a lot of the Victorian boys were under in the tunnel. I noticed about 11 of them, and we had about 23 blokes out on the field. But no, it was just a shame because we had the Royal Show on last night. The Adelaide Crows had their BNF award on last night, and the weather prior to say a Thursday, boys, it was magnificent. It was 24 degrees. So, but look, end of the day, it's about entertainment, and hopefully we've raised a lot of money, and so as we said, it's about prostate and men out there. You've got to get checked. Don't be stubborn. Just get checked.
Yeah, good call, Jars. Now, you got the chocolates last night. You were the star of the show. What happened after the final siren, mate? Take us into the post-match celebrations. Who got the votes?
Oh, well, look, the postman. Well, when I left, Tony Liberatore and Dougie Hawkins were on the floor when I left about 2:30. Chad Corns was—he was on the ceiling. He was high as a kite on bloody tonic and gin and tonic. They were firing up the Victorian boys. Don't worry about that, lads. They were really charged up. A lot of us South Australian boys just snuck out quietly about 1:30, 2 o'clock this morning. Yeah. But I reckon there's a few carcasses around the casino this morning.
Smart play by you, Jazz. Hey, just on a serious note, before we let you go, what's it go with this camp, mate? Has it divided the Adelaide playing group? Has it put a splinter through the ranks? I mean, the word we're getting out is that it's been an absolute disaster for the Adelaide Crows Footy Club.
It's a fair call, Jay. It's a fair call. I think what's happened, and as you know, and Lee knows, being involved in a leadership group, you want to buy in terms of what your footy club's selling you. And your senior coach and your football manager and your head of the fitness department, your CEO and your chairman all want to be on the same page. And I just think the senior players have been, I feel, left out. I think they've been left out on some decisions being made, some key decisions being made. Mm-hmm. And I reckon it's just fractured the group a little bit. The playing group are pretty tight, I can tell you that, but I just think the management led by Brett Burton and those boys, I think they need to have a sit down with these guys and thrash it out because it's starting to split the club in half, and it's a concern.
Yeah, well, it's certainly been an ongoing drama from way back in February, and it still continues now. Jars, thank you very much for joining us. Andrew Jarman, you know you've got
good
your show
you,
over in South Australia. Thanks for joining us, and well done for a great cause last night for the EJ Witten Legends game. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
This is a footy-free weekend.
How good's Andrew Jarman, though, by the way? Oh. He's a very entertaining man.
Funny man. He's a funny man. We need to get him on more regularly. Hey, Joe, have you just called your mate
BJ?
BJ Goddard? Is he going to join us?
We're going to get him on the line. We're going to have a chat to BJ, find out what he's been doing since the end of the season, what he's been thinking, what his plans might be.
He should go on, Joey. I saw it in that last game, Essendon's win over Adelaide. He's very good, Joey. He's got more football left in the tank.
That's not what you were saying off air. Now that we've got BJ on coming on. That'd be good. So in about 15 minutes?
15 minutes, stick around for a chat.
Brendan Goddard, find out where he's at.
He would have been playing some golf. Hey, on the line, Joey, speaking of stars, is one of the guns of the V8 supercar circuit. His name is Michael Caruso. He finished third last weekend in South Australia, and he joins us now. Good morning, Tim Michael.
G'day, fellas. How are we going?
We're going well, mate. Congratulations on the podium finish for yourself last weekend. You're feeling like you're in form ahead of the big event, of course, the endurance event, the Sandown 500 next weekend.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, to be honest. It's a nice time to begin some results, like you said, with all these big races coming up at the moment, and no doubt the biggest one being Bathurst in less than 6 weeks or so. So, pretty pumped.
The Sandown 500 is a bit different, Michael. So this is an endurance event. There's two drivers per car. Can you give us a taste of how grueling this is, how long you're sitting in the car for, and just how fit you have to be able to last these events?
Yeah, look, Sandown 500, it's a great race. I mean, it's around a track that's got a lot of history in our sport. And, I share the car with my co-driver, Dean Fiore. So the race is going to be it's going to be over 3 hours, that's for sure. But, you have to sort of be able to keep your concentration level in a cabin that would be roughly around 40 degrees inside the car.
40 degrees?
Yeah, so doing that over roughly a two-hour period in sort of one stint is pretty tough. But it's it's something that we train pretty hard for, and obviously that you know, it's part of the job.
What do you talk about? Do you try and distract yourself, or do you focus on the job? What do you talk about in those moments? Like, does your mind drift or wander at any point?
Not really. I mean, you're pretty focused on what you're doing. I mean, when you're talking about the back straight at Sandown's roughly 270 kilometres an hour, and you're surrounded by at least 25 other crazy cats like me. So, you know, you've got to have your wits about yourself. And, you know, it's just the concentration level over such a long period of time, which is obviously, you know, one of the most difficult things. And when you start seeing mistakes towards the end.
We're, of course, chatting to Michael Caruso from Nissan Motorsport. Now, Michael, this season, how have you seen the championship race this year? It looks again like it's a two-horse race between the two stars, Shane Van Gisbergen and Scott McLaughlin. What's your take on the overall series this year?
Yeah, look, it's been great. It's, you know, the two powerhouses are at it. And like you said, the boys have been pretty close. You know, Scotty had the upper hand for most of the season, but it looks like... Shane and you know, his team at Triple Eight have done a very good job to sort of bounce back, and they've just taken the lead in the last race effectively. So these big events towards the end of the year are very, very crucial, and a lot of points up for grabs. You know, I mean, you're talking at Bathurst, you could give up 300 points in one day. So, you know, you've got to be on your game, and I'm sure they're pretty focused on it.
We're speaking to Michael Caruso, the V8 supercar driver. Now, they're going to have a bit of fun next weekend for the Sandown 500. Michael, it's retro round. They're encouraging the rev heads out there to get in their old gear, you know, your old school motor racing kit. Does that mean you're going to sort of, any sort of dress up for you, mate, or any special costume?
Look, we'll try to wear something a bit different around the pits, but unfortunately in the race car, we've got to wear all our fireproof and protective gear that's all up to date. But look, it is retro round, and you know, what's better is celebrate the history of the sport that you love. So, yeah, there'll be people wandering around with moustaches and wigs and, you know, I guess everything that everybody was doing probably in the 70s and 80s in the good era.
Gold, gold. Hey, Michael, we do thank you for joining us this morning. We have four tickets to give away to the Rabble.com Sandown 500. The first four people, Joey, are going to get some free tickets. We've got four double passes to the Rabble.com Sandown 500, plus a Supercars merch pack. The 2018 Rabble.club Sandown 500 is retro round, of course, Friday the 14th to Sunday the 16th. September at Sandown Raceway. Excuse me. Should be an absolute ripper. Michael, thanks so much for joining us, mate, and good luck next weekend.
Thanks a lot, boys. Great to talk to you.
Too easy. That number there, Joey, 133353. Of course, call in. The first four callers will get some free tickets, and the board has...
It's lit up. Too late. We've already got callers coming out everywhere.
They're fast.
They are quick.
They'd
have speed dial. They must have Triple M on speed dial, these people.
Who would be the lead driver between you and I? Well, who would be first off?
No, me. I'm a bit of a lead foot.
Yeah, you back yourself?
Aaron tells me to slow down a fair bit. Maybe I zip in and out of traffic, and I'm one of those impatient drivers that everyone hates.
We should have a Daytona 500.
I stay in that left-hand lane and then sort of try and cut in late, one of those people.
In about 15 minutes' time, we're going to get Sammy Groff, the star. He's all over the US Open, of course. A lot of controversy again with Nick Kyrgios. We'll find out what's been happening there. But now on the line... he's been an old teammate of yours and an absolute star of the game for more than a decade. He played at St Kilda and recently at Essendon. Good morning to you, Brennan Goddard.
Morning, gents. How are you?
I'm well, BJ. Now, going back a week, I'm not sure you're as fresh as you're feeling now because you played your last game for the Bombers. It was a stirring win over the Crows, of course. What a nice way, mate, to go out.
Yeah, it was, albeit... being in Adelaide was a little bit disappointing, but yeah, the family obviously came over and a few friends, and yeah, it was a mixed emotions during the week and just getting my head around having to play another game of footy and potentially my last game of footy, and then to get the win and celebrate the night after like we should. Yeah, it was kind of a fitting end, a good way to end of this.
And you had a couple of teammates there. I think Chips was there, Sammy Fisher, Nick Riewoldt came across. So you kicked on afterwards, BJ?
Well, we did. Nick didn't. As Joe would know, Nick is one of the worst going around. Hates a beer. we had a few beers afterwards, but in his defence, he did have to leave early the next morning. But, yeah, we... We, as a team, got together and had a good night.
How's the rest of your week been, BJ? Obviously, you had Mad Monday and you've had a bit of time to have some beers with your teammates, and also you've had a bit of time to reflect. Where are you at this Saturday morning now with your headspace and where you're thinking your future's going?
Play on, BJ.
Yeah, the rest of the week's been pretty easy going, Joe. We have to wait for VFL to finish to participate in our Mad Monday, so that's still on hold. So, and in these days, the celebrations don't quite go as long as they used to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gen Z these days can't handle backing up after a day or two. So things have changed in that aspect, as you probably know. But had a little bit of time to reflect and think about things, but it's still, I guess, hasn't sank in yet. It's pretty easy now just to get entrenched in the off season, and I'm more distracted now. I'm at home with the kids or got kids, so they keep me busy. So they keep my mind off it, but there are times when I catch myself thinking that, you know, the reality is I won't be returning to Essendon, and I'm sure you know, Joey, and I think you've told me before that once you finish, you go through ebbs and flows where they come back to training, the boys, and, you know, you ride the roller coaster and have your little lull, and then games come around, and then, or you think you're over it, and then games come around, and then you have another little lull. So I've got ahead of me, but at the minute I'm just kind of trying to enjoy the off season, and I guess I'll make a decision in the coming weeks.
So, Brendan, it does sound a bit like you're resigned to the fact that you're not going to play on. Is that the case, or do you still think there's some chance that there might be some interest from other clubs?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Yep. Main reason people thought there was probably an agenda with not retiring as such. So, reality is I had, you know, had two or three days to think about it. So, as much as I prepared for worst-case scenario, nothing could prepare me for being in that position and actually hearing the words from Woosher and then having to contemplate, you know, this is my last game for Essendon and being unsure of the future and what I wanted to do. So I didn't want to say anything that I didn't mean, and that was, you know, retiring. I've said it before that all my effort and my mindset was about playing on, but it was about playing on at Essendon. So as much as I feel like I can, I've got plenty more to contribute. My body's feeling really good in my mind. It's not something that I've actually thought that may be a reality, is playing on with someone else. So I'm keeping the door ajar, don't get me wrong, but as time goes on and the more I think about it, you know, maybe it is time.
It is hard because actually, even if you're 90% no, Jay, and I waited mm-hmm. till the end of the season to announce my retirement, because even if you do think you know, actually saying the words out loud, it's the final straw. It's actually the finality of pulling the trigger to say the words, I'm retired, and that's the hardest bit, and I'm sure that's what Brendan's wrestling with. But BJ, when you did on a light, and I'd have to tell your teammates, and it is emotional, and it doesn't matter how much you prepare for it, and you only had a couple of days, other guys have a bit longer, it is still very emotional to say goodbye to your teammates, and you found it emotional, but I'm not sure you needed to hold the box of tissues in the hand, mate, when you did it. You could have put them down.
No,
a bit funny with the box of tissues in the hand.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, the boys, I got word that a few of the boys had opened, they had a market open for me, whether I'll cry or not. So
that was odds on, that was a certainty.
Yeah, so I made the gag. I walked in and thought I'd come prepared. So, it was tough. But as you said, as much as you prepare, you know, you don't know how it's going to come out and how you're going to react. And I knew at some point I'd I'd get emotional, but I went a bit earlier than I thought. But it is tough. It's as you said, like, I think you're in a similar position from what I know and what you told me, that last year you felt like you'd go on, you had more to give and contribute, and that's probably the hardest thing, whereas I think I said it last week, I wish my body was failing me and, you know, struggling to get through the year and the weeks, but reality is I'm feeling, you know, I've got a bit of a bung knee, but there's not too many my age are running around that are squeaky clean, but, you know, I'm had been feeling really good, so that's probably the hardest pill to swallow, is that I don't feel like I'm ready, but I'm almost getting told by someone else, that we'll make the decision for you and your time's done kind of thing.
What I did to make it easier, mate, is eat plenty of chicken schnitzels and have plenty of beers, and then you do put on a few kilos, and then you realise, oh yeah, maybe it's getting past me. That does help.
That was your excuse.
Hey, BJ, before we let you go, mate, and we're so appreciative of your time, who wins the flag, mate? Who do you think takes it out from here?
Well, I think people got an epiphany with trying to pick anyone but Richmond, but I know Joey's a betting man, but like their consistency, you have to respect that. Yep. and you can't go past them. So I know the argument is, and it probably is true that, you know, Hawthorn or Melbourne, Geelong, like you'd argue six or seven teams or everyone in the eight, their good is good enough to beat Richmond, but reality is that you're not sure what you're going to get from them based on their year. So you can go into a game confident, you know what you're going to get from Richmond, you know what it's going to look like. They're supremely confident, trust one another. Like when I've played them twice during the year, I've said it to myself a number of times, I'm like, oh, they feel like we did in 2009, 2010. Like they've got the game half won before they even run out. So that's a huge advantage, and you can't go past them, but I'd just be flipping a coin if I was to say if it was Richmond and who was going to play them in a grand final. So, you'd probably just stick to the top four just as a safe bet.
They are certainly in great position, the Tigers, to win back-to-back premierships. BJ, thanks so much for joining us this morning, mate. Good luck with what's ahead. I reckon go knock on Collingwood's door and have a chat with Nathan Buckley. Matthew Schoenberg down, Joey. BJ, be perfect on a back flank, mate. We'll catch you around the chaps. Thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legends.
Hey, Jake. Thanks, Dirt.
Jesus, Colin was good in the Sunday Herald Sun too this year, I thought.
His Ghost Rider was excellent.
He's all BJ.
Joey and Jay-Z, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. With St Kilda great, Lee Montagna, and Triple M footies, Jay Clark.
And in the studio, Joey, we've got a very good friend of ours, a special guest. He's an Australian or retired tennis star now, but he still can serve a thunderbolt down in the local tennis court, that's for sure. Good morning to you, Sam Groff.
Morning, guys. I'm not hitting too many tennis balls at the moment, so not too many thunderbolts being thrown down.
Will you play any social tennis? Retired footballers, you can go and play a bit of local footy, you can play over 35s. If you're really struggling, you can play in the EJ Witten's game and be 45 years old and have a kick.
Or you can play lawn bowls, Joey, yourself.
Or you can take up lawn bowls or golf. But what about social tennis? Is there any sort of competition around town where you can play?
Nah. I mean, I could sign up and play a bit of tennis, but, mate, I'd rather spend my time out on the golf course at the moment, spending a lot more time there than I probably should be and than my missus is happy with.
Imagine on a Wednesday night, you know, the local East Brighton tournament. Old tennis. Snowy, the tram driver, comes up, looks at his next opponent. S. Groff. He'd be pretty flat, I reckon. Hey, Sammy, it has been big news over there in the US Open, of course. Our man, Nick Kyrgios, he was trailing a set and down 3-love in the second set of his match. And then, quite extraordinarily, the chair umpire, Mohamed Lahani.
Lahani,
if I got that right, climbs down and gives him a bit of a motivational talk, a pep talk. Have you ever heard of this happening?
I have not. And I wish there's a few times in my career the umpire had to come down and give me a bit of a pep talk, because there's times when you need it, especially over five sets. And we all know Nick, he's very up and down. We've seen him on court, he's emotional. You know everything he's feeling and what he's doing out there. And Mohamed actually does a lot of his matches. I think they've got a pretty good relationship, and I think Mo knows how to sort of keep Nick in check a little bit. I think he gets put on a lot of those matches, and he's been around for a long, long time. He's one of the top chair umpires. And
is that how it works? So if you've got a relationship...
It's not really a relationship, but I think if you understand someone and how they operate, and I think there's umpires that you get along with and don't get along with, and it's a big match. It's a big tournament on a big court, and Mo's very experienced, and he probably did overstep the line, I'd say, just a little bit. But also think, Nick was not at fault. Nick didn't say, Mo, can you come down here and give me a little pep talk and a little chat? And whether that helped Nick or not through the course of the match, obviously it turned around a lot from that stage onwards. But Mo probably overstepped the line a little bit, but also think it's been blown up a little more than it probably needed to be.
I think the tennis organisers should actually throw in a couple of the umpires who don't get on with the players, just to fire things up a little bit. So your take is that it was definitely uncool. We shouldn't see that. I mean, he hasn't been kicked out of the tournament or anything. He's going to continue to chair umpire old mate Mohamed. But you weren't happy with this?
No, I think it was. He took it a little bit far. I mean, it's fair enough. If he sat up there in the chair. He got down and actually was sort of 3 inches from Nick's face, giving him a little whispering to. But
coaching him.
Yeah, if he just sat up in the chair and said, look, mate, you're not putting in your best efforts. You've got to sort of pull your head in a little bit. And
yep.
Because umpires have done that, because you can get a co-violation and fine for obviously not best efforts or these sort of things if that's the case. But all he had to say was, you know, Nick, come on, you know, pull your head in. I'm going to have to give you a warning. And obviously then, you know, things start to get serious.
Well, he might need another pep talk, Kyrgios, because he's got Federer tonight in the round of 32. Give us an update on how the Aussies are all tracking. I believe Ash Barty's on court at the moment as we speak, but we've still got some Aussies in the tournament.
Yeah, we do. Obviously, it's been a pretty good tournament for the Australians. We had 7 men in the main draw and a lot of those guys winning matches. Jason Kubler was a big one. It was his first time inside the top 100 and he had a wild card, but he won his first round, beat a seeded player, and then obviously he hurt his ankle, which was unfortunate for him. John Millman's in the third round and he's playing great. He beat, I think, Fabio Fognini in the second round, who's been having a really good summer, and he actually plays Mikhail Kukushkin, who is an unseeded player, and if he wins, he'll play the winner of this Kyrgios-Federer match, which is the one where, as Australians, all looking at. Yeah. You know, obviously, he's beaten Roger before. He's beaten all those top guys. And if he can just go in and, I guess, take some of that pressure off himself and think, I'm the underdog here and I've got nothing to lose, and hopefully just compete at the best of his ability, and then, you know, who knows? It'd be great to see him and Millman have a fourth-round catch-up. Yeah, Alex Dimenar's the other one. He's in there. He's been flying, plays Marin Cilic. And you talk about the women. Ash is on court right now, and she's about to win, I think. She was 6-3-4 love up last time I checked. And the women's draw is opening up quite a bit. So a lot of the big seeds have gone out. Number one and two seeds are both out. And, yeah, the draw's starting to open up.
Now, we're talking about Flushing Meadows. And the heat always seems to be an issue. Every year when they play the US Open, there's always this talk about the heat wave that hits New York. And we spoke to Novak Djokovic spoke post-match a couple of days ago about the ice bars. And I want to get your take on not only the heat, but also what goes on in the locker rooms at tennis tournaments.
No, it was funny because Martin and I were ice bath one next to another. So we had the two ice baths. We were naked in the ice baths, and it was quite wonderful feeling, you know. battling with a guy for 2.5 hours, and then you get into the locker room and you haven't finished the match and you're naked in the ice baths. It was quite a magnificent feeling, I must say.
I'm not sure if you'd say magnificent and wonderful are the words you'd use to describe being in an ice bath, but obviously the heat is a big factor over there. And tell us about in the locker rooms at tournaments. You obviously share locker rooms with your opponents. How do you find that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, there's not too many sports, I guess, where you share a locker room and then go out and compete. I haven't had a naked ice bath or anybody else in my career. Something I probably tried to avoid a little bit. But, you know, it's an interesting one. The Heat in New York, this year is the first year they've put a heat rule in place. So the heat is pretty bad there. It's the humidity that gets you. It's not much hotter here in Melbourne, but we don't get that, I guess, severe humidity that they get over there in the US.
Right. I thought ice baths were a myth, Joey. Did you used to do the ice baths?
We waited as footballers for 15 years for the sports science guy to turn around one year and say, hey, boys, we've just realised that ice baths actually don't work and it's hot spas that actually are the secret. But now we joke that that'll probably happen in the next few years now that I've retired. I spent 16 years doing ice baths and we'll find out they're a myth.
I think the ice baths are up there with altitude training. Both absolute. Miss, we're going to talk some footy. Sammy, we know you're a big Sydney Swans fan. Surely you were as shocked as I was that not only Lance Franklin made the team, but he was named captain. Did this raise your blonde eyebrows?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing my eyebrows up there. I appreciate that. But no, I mean, it's an interesting one. I think, obviously, you know, from a Swans point of view, it was great to see Buddy in there. And I think it's a reward, obviously, and it's divided people. But for all those years that he's been in there, I think 8-time All-Australians, it's a pretty fair effort. And, you know, obviously some people were very disappointed that Shannon Hearn wasn't named captain, but I'm going to come from a Swans point of view as well and say, look, I was pretty happy to see Buddy get named captain.
Joey, don't you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Of course it should have been Shannon Hearn as captain.
No way. Why? Buddy Franklin's been an 8-time All-Australian. It's an added accolade to put next to his CV, because that's what these awards are about. It's about being your accolades and your achievements in your career. An 8-time All-Australian, only 4 other players have done it. Robert Harvey, both Ablets and Mark Ricciuto. Mm-hmm. He's one of the all-time greats. He doesn't have the captaincy next to his name. It's just another added accolade that he deserves, because, Jay, you're one of these people. It's not a literal football team. This team doesn't go out and play anyone.
It looks like a team to me.
It is a team. But
they're picked in positions, Joe.
It is. It's a theoretical team, though. So you don't need a literal captain who captains his club to be named captain of this team. It's a theoretical team. Lance Franklin is the best player, one of the best players of all time. He deserves the accolade next to his name.
You blokes have lost your mind. Did you see the look of shock on his face? Poor old Bunger Hearn was standing there just sort of going through the notes in his head. Like, what am I going to say when I get the captaincy? And old Buddy Franklin gets it. I'm not happy about it. Hey, big round of footy finals next weekend, Joey. Which is the pick of the bunch? Which game are you most looking forward to?
I think Melbourne Geelong for me is the pick of the games. I reckon that'll be an absolute beauty. I can't decide who will win that. I think it's a toss of the coin. Both teams, I think, are a threat. Whoever wins this one can go a long way deep into September. Grothy, I'm going to lean towards Melbourne.
Yep. Why?
But it's an absolute... Oh, just because...
Midfield power?
Yeah, I think Gawn is probably the key. If he can dominate the ruck, depends if Ray Stanley gets up. But if Gawn dominates the ruck, Melbourne can win. The other beauty, Sydney Swans, GWS. That's another one. Toss of the coin for me.
Yeah, and obviously we get a couple of blokes back in Buddy and Luke Parker who are going to make a massive difference to that four line. I thought our effort was great against Hawthorn last week. I think at one stage we had six blokes under 20 inside the forward line. So you bring Parker and Buddy back into that, I think makes a big difference. But you know, GWS could get six or seven guys back as well, which is not the ideal scenario for the Swans, but I'm looking forward to it. But I'd agree, the other match, it's massive. They've had two really close games this year.
It's a big stage for Gary Ablett, who's recruited to this club to basically perform on finals. It is all set up for him. And you know, it will be a big story, whoever loses this game, but in particular, how Gary plays, because this is his final stage. Back for the first time in September, in 7 years, obviously, it's going to be a huge focus on him. Richmond Hawthorn is the other very interesting one, of course, Joey. How does Alistair Clarkson bring down his old mate, his protege, Damien Hardwick? How do you beat the Tigers, Joey?
Oh, he'll come up with something, Damien Hardwick. Don't worry about that. You've got to move the ball quick against Richmond because you can't go slow because it allows their defenders too much time to set up behind the ball. But it's a fine line because if you go too quick and you overhandball, it invites Richmond's forward pressure and they're swarming numbers around the footy. That's why hardly any team has been able to combat it.
Aren't you meant to retain the ball? Do you think the Hawks will try?
You've got to retain it, but you've got to retain it quickly. You've got to retain it, but kick forward. If you just retain the ball, and St Kilda actually tried it against Richmond, the theory is to retain the ball. But if you just kick it sideways and kick it around, Richmond and Rance and Asprey and that will sit behind the ball all day and just pick it off when it does eventually get kicked forward. So you need to retain the ball, but go forward. But try and pick holes in them as you move the ball, like the Western Bulldogs almost did. So it's a challenge. It's not easy to do, but Hawthorn are one of the better teams at doing that over the last 10 years. So
Sammy, did you manage to get tickets, mate, or did you get caught up in the Ticketek fiasco, or are you going to go along to one of these games?
No, I didn't get caught up. I didn't try and buy tickets. I'm not going to go up to the game up in Sydney this weekend, so I didn't get too caught up in that, thank goodness.
Absolute farce, Joey.
A few stressful fans.
Give me a spell. If it's not Ticketek, I tell you what, how can they not get that? We can put people on the moon, Joey. Just come up with a ticket system. It can't be that hard.
Can we? Did people go to the moon?
Conspiracies.
Oh, boy. That's for another time, Rosie. We'll get into that.
Can of worms. Hey, lastly, Collingwood West Coast.
Yeah.
You are adamant that the Eagles are going to win this.
I think this is the best bet of the weekend for me, West Coast. I think that Josh Kennedy will be back at their home form. Collingwood went over there 2 weeks ago. I know the Pies have done so well this year with their team. I just think West Coast at home will be cherry ripe the week off to freshen up. I think West Coast will win this one.
Grothy?
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it becomes tough for Collingwood. Obviously, they haven't had a great record against the other seven teams that are in the finals. And they've got the last game of the weekend and then they've got to travel back.
It's weird, obviously, that.
Yeah, it was a strange... I thought it was strange scheduling as well. So they'll go all the way to Perth. Perth's not that far, let's be realistic. After what I did for so long, I hear everyone say how far away Perth is. I would have loved to have to fly to Perth instead of flying halfway across the world. But at the same time, they're going to have the shortest turnaround of all the teams and have to come back to play one of the Sydney teams in Melbourne should they lose. Yep. So
I think they're going to take the red eye or the flight back to Melbourne straight after the game to try and get a bit of an advantage. Hey, Grothy, thanks so much for coming in, mate. Great to have a chat. You're calling, of course. You're commentating the Australian Open this summer, Channel 9. You'd be excited about that.
Herald Sun, too. Got articles at Herald Sun.
Yeah, bits and pieces starting to happen, which is nice. But no, excited about Channel 9. Obviously, some big names, Jim Courier and John McEnroe and Todd Woodbridge. So I don't know how I snuck in there, but some big names to be part of. But I'm looking forward to the summer.
You're an absolute star. Well, thanks so much for joining us, mate. We do appreciate it. We're going to keep in touch. All the tennis news, of course, Joey. What's the latest on Ash Barty before we go?
6-3, won the first set, 4-love up in the second set. So it looks like Ash Barty will be through to the round of 16 at the US Open.
Outstanding. Hey, next I'm going to pick your brains, Joey, on some big trades. We're going to talk Dylan Scheel, Lachie New, what's happening with Luke Dalhouse.
Joey and Jay-Z, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. With St Kilda great, Lee Montagna, and Triple M footies, Jay Clark.
It's always fascinating, the player movement at this time of year, Joey, because while eight teams are gearing up for the finals, The other 10 teams are planning their big moves for the next season. And that that trade movement is already heating up. And I asked you before the ad break, of course, who would you rather at your club? Dylan Shiel, the GWS midfield jet, age 26, or Lockie Neal? Because Brisbane, as we understand, they're gunning for Neal. They got pick four on the table, Joey, and they want the Dockers hard nut. Who would you prefer, Shiel or Neal?
So both players are the same age. They're both 25. They've both played seven seasons. So they will both be restricted free agents next year. Hence why the talk is to potentially you trade them out a year early. Clubs can get them. Look, I would take Lockie Neal.
Oh, you're kidding, Joey.
Lockie Neal is an absolute superstar.
You've
he's underrated. He's been three times he's been in the All-Australian squad. Dylan Shiel has never been in the All-Australian squad. Lockie Neal has polled twice as many Brownlow votes as Dylan Shiel. He's won club BNFs. Lockie Neal is an underrated superstar. If you had the choice of the two, both very good players. Don't get me wrong. Dylan Shiel is a great player, but Lockie Neal is better than him. I would take Lockie Neal.
Lockie Neal doesn't have the polish or the run, the breakaway speed that Dylan Shiel is. That he is the Chris Judd type. He's the one who can explode from a pack. We know that Carlton, St Kilda, of course, Essendon are into Shiel. I think there's a very real chance he will come to a Melbourne club, come back to Victoria next season. But he has got lots more polish than Neal. You can get the hard nut, ball magnet, Neal types, you know, everywhere.
Yeah, look, I disagree. I think Dylan Shiel is an explosive player, does burst away occasionally, but I don't think his polish is as good as what people think. I think
really?
He butchers the he makes a lot of kicking errors, Dylan Shiel. I know he looks great coming through stoppages, but if you look at, he's kicked a lot more behinds than goals for his career. He misses targets. Lockie Neal is a beautiful player. He's underrated at Fremantle. I know Dylan Shiel's got that bit more explosive pace that stands out, and maybe that's why there's a perception out there that, you know, Dylan Shiel is this all, you know, much better player. But Lockie Neal, for consistent high level of performance, as I said, three times he's been in the All-Australian squad, stiff not to make the team again, Lockie Neal. He is a bona fide A-grade mid, and if you can get your first round pick, pick three, four, five, or six, like Brisbane have offered, like St Kilda have, you know, pick four, if that's the case this year, I would certainly look at getting a Lockie Neal. I mean, and Dylan Shiel, but if I had the choice, I'd go Lockie Neal.
So if you were at St Kilda, you're the new list manager down there, would you do pick three, pick four for Dylan Shiel? Would you do that deal?
Yes, I would. I would because, or Lockie Neal, because you know what you're going to get with those players. You're getting a bona fide A-grade player.
Yep.
You're going to get 6 years out of them. You know what you're getting. A pick four, an 18-year-old, it's still high risk. I mean, we've seen with some of St Kilda's picks over the last few years, even top 20 picks, they don't necessarily turn out as you think they might, where you know what you're going to get. I mean, we had this argument earlier in the year about, would you give up pick one for Dylan Shiel?
Yeah, would you?
Now, well, that's a difficult one because you're only going to get six, maybe 7 years out of Shiel because he'll be 25, 26 at the start of next year. But certainly for a first-round pick, I would give it up, and you know what you're going to get with these A-grade players.
It's interesting, the moves at the Saints. We're going to move on to the Bulldogs in one second. We know they're interested in Scotty Lysett, who sounds like he's leaving West Coast. Daniel Hannabury, we know, is most likely out of the Swans. But Daniel Menzel, I don't get this one. So apparently a two-year deal on the table for Daniel Menzel from Geelong. He's a free agent, Joey. Oh, they've already got the aerial marking power. Paddy, Josh Bruce, of course, Timmy Membry. What do they want?
Yeah, Josh Battle's a young up-and-coming player, Rowan Marshall. I don't think Daniel Menzel is a good fit for St Kilda. No, I don't think that's the case either. I don't mind. I've spoken about this on our show before. I like the Dan Hannabury one. I know some people think his body's shot and he's over the hill. I disagree with that. He's had 2 years of being injured, and we get that. But before that, he was a back-to-back All-Australian. He's only 27 years old. He's got leadership. He's been at a club that knows success, so he can add so much value to St Kilda's football program. From that point of view, if he gets his body right, which when you're that age, you still can. It's not like he's completely shot. I think that's been overblown a little bit. I think Mick Malthouse started that chat that he's completely shot. I disagree. So I still like the Dan Hannabury if that does end up going to St Kilda.
I'm not sure. I didn't like the body language. He seemed frustrated after Sydney's loss to Hawthorn last week, shaking his head.
So what does that mean?
In the play, I don't know. I think he had a bit of a blue by the looks of it with Jared McVeigh.
Every player has a blue at some stage.
BJ got a blue.
Football game. It's a highly intense game.
At the Bulldogs, there's some movement here. So Mitch Wallace sounds like he's staying. Jordan Roughhead out of the kennel to West Coast.
Yep, looks like done, which means that probably says that Scott Lysett's out the door because Roughhead wouldn't go there to be a third string ruckman.
No.
So he's now going to be the backup and will probably start with Nat Nui out of the side early.
And Tommy Liberatore, so best and fairest winner, star of the 2016 Premiership, still unsigned, Joey, and may only get a one-year offer from Western Bulldogs. So that is a bit of a fall from grace for Tommy Liberatore, but it does sound like, as you said, they'll lose Jordan Roughhead. Hey, lastly, we're going to move on to second. Gary Ablett. If the Cats don't win next weekend, will the Gary Ablett trade be seen as a win or a loss?
Oh, you watch the people come for Gary Ablett.
They will.
Some of these people that have been potting Gary Ablett all year, it's been doing my head in. He's had an unbelievable year. I still think he was stiff not to make the All-Australian squad of 40. If you look at his numbers, he had a sensational season. He's still a gun. He's 34 years old playing in the midfield. Gary Ablett will do what he does come finals time, but you watch, as soon as he doesn't produce a 30 possession, three goal game, some of the critics will come for him and say that he's too old and it was wrong. It's certainly not. He's a star. He's one of the best of all time. He's pretty handy, Gary Ablett. Don't worry about that. And let's hopefully that he can put on a show, because we know that if he doesn't, the critics will come. It drives me nuts.
I think he's won more possessions, according to champion data, of any 34-year-old in the history of the game.
Right.
But it'll be interesting. Back. Melbourne will try and target him the other way. What are you going to do with your sort of footy free weekend? What are you up to this weekend, Joey?
Family time today.
Yep.
Might take Aaron and Noah down to the local footy. Aaron will be pumped with that. We might go watch St. Kevin's the amateurs, or go and watch North Heidelberg. And then tomorrow, Father's Day, first Father's Day. So I got a lovely lunch with the family at Rosetta at Crown, which is a bit of a treat.
Lovely. I like it. Playing golf tomorrow morning. I haven't played in 4 years, Joey, so I'm going to go down with a good mate, Red, and I'll probably hit it sideways, it's fair to say. When I'm hitting them well, I can't break 100. So imagine how well I go, Joey, when I'm not seeing them all that well. Hey, now it's time for...
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Now, you could say this is a Captain Obvious, give me a spell, Joey, but I simply can't miss him. Ticket Tech, I tell you what, they drop the ball again. If it happens again, if you stuff up the tickets one more time, Ticket Tech, I think we've just got to rip up the contract. I think Gil McLaughlin, Stewie Fox here at the MCC has got to sort out this problem, because they have been making it very difficult for fans just to get their footy tickets, Joey. The good people out there, they work hard all week. They just want a simple finals ticket. It's an exciting time for the Melbourne fans, for the Richmond fans. Give me a spell, Ticket Tech, sort out your crappy system.
Yeah, half volley, give me a spell. That's an easy one. Whack
well,
that
had
for
to
six.
Be.
Yeah,
they deserve it.
Absolutely, they deserve it. Give me a spell, Ticket Tech. Mine, a little bit more, bit more thought put behind this one, Jay, because you've been spruking for. I've been listening to you the last week or two, spruking about being the quiz champ, the Sunday Rub.
Man?
It's one of the great segments on the Sunday Rub. You do the quiz. I think this one was a world record 18-minute quiz, by the way.
Longest
quiz, but you were spruking how you came back from the dead. You won it. You're now the back-to-back quiz champ. And I thought, wow, Jay, I know you're a smart man. I know you know your football. Then when I listened to the quiz back, it wasn't you at all that got you over the line.
Yes,
you
was.
Had help from your little mate, the one that you always pump up and look after, and this time he covered your butt. Let's take a listen.
6-0.
We're in trouble here, Skipper.
6-0. And I'm only going to say one thing. Jeez, it's good Scotty Pendlebury can play football.
I reckon Simon Black.
Yep.
Skip. Paddy Dangerfield.
JJ. Scotty, I think that is when Hawthorn beat West Coast.
Yep, go for it.
It is 6-3. We are at the Who Am I? 5 points. I was born on the 12th of October 1982, and I am a premiership captain. 4 points. I debuted in 2002 and played for two clubs.
Bruce. It's Luke Hodge.
Out. Incorrect. Now.
Sam Mitchell.
Correct.
Yes.
Quick, Scotty.
He's clutch. He's
We're
a big
going
game
to
performer.
A playoff. All right. How many possessions yesterday did Paddy Dangerfield have?
JJ. Skip 34, kick 4 goals, 3.
The answer
is... He's probably got the damn paper in front of him.
Scotty. 34.
Yes! Dangerfield
gets up back to Luke Pendlebury coming from the clouds. One of the great clutch performances from Pendlebury.
So, Scotty Pendlebury, we know he's one of the clutch performers on the football field, and he's just carried you like he's carried that Collingwood team for a long time over the line in the quiz, and you were trying to claim it that you won the quiz from 6-0 down.
Yeah.
And I listened, it was all Scotty Pendlebury say, give me a spell, Jay Clark. Scotty Pendlebury's carried you once again.
Yeah, he put me on his back, it's fair to say. I did try and claim that, but that was his good work. Rosie, give me a spell.
You and Joey. I'm giving you both a spell because you had to do a live read for Crown Casino before, and you're talking about Thunder Road. The boss, Bruce Springsteen experience.
Yeah.
He's won Academy Awards. He's had a career of over 40 years. And this is how the two of you pronounce Bruce Springsteen's name, or mispronounce, rather.
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, and Jay-Z.
Bruce Springsteen, Springsteen.
It is a little bit of a tongue twister, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
You need to slow down a fraction.
Yeah.
Good lesson for us. Give us a spell.
How's our radio careers going, Joey?
He's only been around a couple of years.
Hey, Joey, just quickly, before we get to your your Dead Set Legend of the Week, Jared Roughead, right? There is some awkwardness around this Hawks champ and whether he will continue on at the Hawks or whether the door is ajar to extend his career at another club. Is this an awkward thing to be happening at a footy club on the eve of finals?
Oh, it's not an awkward thing to be happening on the eve of finals because these awkward conversations happen with all the ageing veterans. I mean, we just spoke to Brendan Goddard earlier on the show. It happens to all the players. It happened to the other Hawthorn boys, Jordan Lewis and Sam Mitchell and Luke Hodge. It's an awkward time when you've got ageing stars, veterans, leaders of the football club that want to continue to play. Clubs are looking to transition and move on. It's always an awkward time. One thing I do know is these things don't affect the performance of players and teams. It doesn't make any difference to what you do on the training track and on game day. So it won't be a distraction for the Hawks. It is a tough time for Jared Roughead, whatever the conversations are, but it happens to every single player that gets towards the end of their career. So I don't think it's a big deal.
Like Jordan Lewis at Melbourne, Sammy Mitchell went to West Coast, Luke Hodge at Brisbane. Jared Roughead would be a brilliant pickup for Carlton. Joey, watch this space on that front. Hey, Dead Set Legend of the Week, time, please.
Yeah, Dead Set Legend of the Week.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
This was a tough one. We had so many Dead Set Legends this week we were tossing up. It was a tough one. In the end, I've pulled rank, and I've gone with Jonathan Thurston.
Oh.
He's an absolute immortal in the NRL Rugby League ranks. He plays his last ever game of Rugby League today for the North Queensland Cowboys, but an absolute superstar. He put, to be fair, Rugby League on the map in Melbourne. Mm. Not huge, but these State of Origins, when Queensland dominated, Jonathan Thurston is an absolute star. So he plays his last ever game today. We always celebrate the AFL players in Melbourne, which rightly so, but Jonathan Thurston has been an absolute champion, so he is my Dead Set Legend of the week.
I personally would have went Jaden Stevenson, the Collingwood speedster.
Rising star.
Max Gorn, who was voted
the... Thurston's been absolute immortal of rugby league.
Oh, mate. Max Gorn, the coaches recognise him as the best player in the competition.
Now, we're back. Now that we're in September, Spring Carnival Racing, I'm going to go back to my tip of the day. I want it, people out there listening, just have a little wager, just a little bit each way on this horse today. Race 3 at Caulfield, number 2, Mrs. Gardenia, trained by the great Darren Weir. First up, each way, it's going to win. It's been a great show, Jay, Rosie, love the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next Saturday. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.